All right, well, good morning, everyone. I do believe the youth have a class upstairs. I'm like half the height of Reverend Ennis, so this goes down. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. All right. It is so good to see everyone this morning. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You glad to be in the house of the Lord today?
Yes.
I'm so happy that you are. I know I am. I know I am. All right. Well, because we treasure the Word of God, would you please stand as I read our opening verse, our key text for today, our scripture in preparation for today's message. Today's scripture is going to come from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You ready? And it's verses 3, 4, and 5. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that today you will illuminate your word into our spirits so that we can have adjustments that may need to be adjusted, that we would have truth that would need to be planted. And we thank you, Father, that your word is life-changing for us today. We give you praise and glory for the anointing of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, have a seat. And as you do, I would like for you to look at your neighbor and say, there is a God answer for everything. Can you say that? There is a God answer. Hallelujah. There is. Did you know that? Too loud. It's got like a smidge of a ring, kind of a piercing sound. Hallelujah. So there is a God answer for everything. So if you woke up this morning and you said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do about, or you went to sleep last night and you said, I'm not sure what we're supposed to do about, or you had a thought coming up and say, I don't know how it. There's a God answer.
Amen.
For everything. Absolutely everything. So I'm so happy about that. And I know that what I have that rages around in my mind can feel like there might not be an answer for everything. I don't know about you. So I just know that there are times in my life, and there are times currently where things are coming at me and I'm like, I don't know what the answer is. I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. I don't see the end result in front of me today. I know what I want. I know what I am believing for. I know what God says it should be. But today, when something comes up against me, I'm not in the natural exactly sure how it's going to turn out. But I do know one thing. There is a God answer for that. There is a God answer for you. There is a God answer for you. God has an answer for you. There is not one thing that pertains to your life. Not one. Not one thing, big or small or in between. There's not one thing that pertains to your personal, detailed, intricate, independent being life that God does not have an answer for. Every single thing that pertains to you specifically, not even just us as a whole, but you individually, by yourself, not with your spouse, not with your kids, not with your job, just you by yourself. There is a God answer just for every detail that pertains to you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Well, what do we do when we have thoughts that come our way that seem to be contrary to what you're saying, Pastor Christine? Because I woke up this morning and I didn't feel like I heard, oh, there's a God answer. I heard, what are you going to do about it? How is that going to turn out? How are you going to get? Where are you going to go? When is it going to happen? That's what I heard coming at me. How you don't feel healed because I got that pain. I didn't hear, oh, there's a God answer. Yay, there's a God. I heard, what are you going to do? How is it going to work out? When is it going to happen? Why don't you see it? Why don't you notice it? Why isn't it here? Why isn't it in the bank? Why isn't it in front of me? Why? Where? Who? When? Those are the thoughts that can come against me. And those are the thoughts that can come against you. Are we believers? Yes. Do we have the Holy Spirit, the greater one living on the inside? Absolutely, yes. But are we any exception to the fact that we live in a world where there are thoughts that come our way? No. Jesus himself said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But before that, he said, there would be trouble.
Yes.
There would be trouble. Now, this is not discouraging, because if you're a Christian, there's trouble. If you're not a Christian, there's trouble. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. But what we have is a God answer for everything. And we have an ability to stop in the midst of that when we wake up or when we're going about our business and thoughts come bombarding our way. We have skills and resources and tools that are available to us to utilize to combat the thought. Did you realize, brothers and sisters, that the number one way that Satan, the devil, your adversary comes against you is right up here in your mind? Now you look at me and you say, well, you don't look like you have any problems. You look chipper. You look happy. You're praising the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's what you see. And that is what I am doing. But were you with me when the thought came dashing up against my head? Did you hear it? No. Did you see that thought come up against my head? No. Because in our mind, it's very silent to the outside. But to the inside of our mind, it can be very, very noisy. To the outside, you cannot see what thoughts the enemy is sending my way constantly. Constantly. Oh, I'm not an exception. I don't live in a bubble up in Brewster by myself with Pastor. We just sit around and sing Kumbaya all the time and have no worries. No. Do you? Because if you do, I'm moving in with you. I'm just going to come in and just take up residence with you. If you live in a place where you never have thoughts that are negatively coming from the enemy, I'm coming to hang out with you. Oh, but we've got the greater one on the inside of us. And we've been given instructions of what to do when thoughts come our way. So today's message is called the letter V, I-T. Now, some of you know what a VIP is, right?
Yes.
What's a VIP?
A very important person.
But today we're going to have a VIT. We're going to have a very important thought. That's going to be our message today. It's called Very Important Thoughts. Now, if you are a VIP, and you go to a show and you have a VIP pass. You have a VIP pass and it says VIP. And you get to the door and someone says to you, who are you? And you say, I'm Christine Mitchell. And they look on a list and they say, oh, you're on the list. Come on in. And you've got your little pass just in case. Well, that grants you access into that show, doesn't it?
Yes.
Have you ever had backstage passes?
Yes.
For something, right? A special tour that you paid for so you could meet the star ahead of time before the show? Well, you're a VIP. You have access. Well, there are thoughts that are trying to come to you and to me. There are good ones and there are evil ones. And it's up to you and it's up to me to decide which ones are you going to allow access. Because they're walking up to you all the time. But in our strength of knowing the Word of God, we have the ability to say, stop thought and let me check you out first before I even allow you access. So every day as a Christian, you wake up, you go about your business and you're doing it and something pops into your head. Just pops into your head, something random. Something random. You're driving along the road and something real bizarre just pops into your head. And if you're quick, you'll say, stop thought. Are you a very important thought? Are you a VIT? Well, if you are, then you can have access. But if you're not, then you are not allowed access. And we call that access denied. So how are you doing? Are you allowing every single thing that pops into your head access? Or are you also stating at times, no, access denied? Well, let's look at the word again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, that means naturally speaking, here we are, everybody walking around in the flesh? I hope so, because we would look really weird if we weren't. It would be kind of creepy if we were all walking around. All right, but though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Oh, I have to remind myself that all the time. Every day, I have to, Christine, you're not warring against flesh. You're not warring against flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning flesh-like, but mighty in God. My weapon is mighty. My weapons, plural, are mighty in God.
Amen.
In God. And what do? Those weapons pull down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now go to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. So we have weapons. We have weapons. Now, Pastor last week concentrated on one specific weapon. He was talking about the shoes in the armor of God that were shod with the gospel of peace. And in Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start at verse 11. Are you there? If you're there, say I'm there.
There.
All right. So verse 11 says, this is instructions. What do you do? How are we supposed to wage war against a non-flesh situation? How do you do that? Well, first of all, you got to remember, you're not fighting flesh. You're not fighting flesh. You're not fighting flesh. You're not fighting flesh. It's not you versus him. It's not you versus her. It's not us versus them. I, as a Christian, have been told that my warfare is not carnal. It's not flesh against flesh. Oh, man, does it feel like it sometimes? Maybe it's just my life. Okay, but anyway, maybe it's just my life that just feels flesh against flesh. But I have to remind myself, no, this is spiritual because I'm a spiritual being, which means that Satan is trying to attack me, and he's a spiritual being. If you know Satan is a spiritual being, he's trying to attack you spiritually through the mind, through your thoughts, through an idea, through a suggestion. That's what he does. So in Ephesians chapter 6, we know what to do. It says to put on the whole armor of God, the whole armor. Pick it up and put it on. Pick it up and put it on. Pick it up and put it on. If we're told right here in verse 11 to put it on, it means that you and I have the ability to take it off. That means somewhere along the way, something got taken off if the apostle is telling us to put it on. If you can put on a jacket, it also means you can take it off. If you can put on your shoes, it means you can also take them off. And here in the word, it says to put on the whole armor of God. Why? What does it say? What's the point? Why are we supposed to do that? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, meaning schemes, tactics of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes, the wiles of the devil. For again, look at this, another book of the Bible saying a very similar truth. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Didn't we just read that?
Yes.
We walk in the flesh. We don't war according to the flesh, right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers, catch this, of the darkness, catch this, right here, present day, of this age, of this age, rulers of the darkness of this age. That tells me there's some rulers in this age right now that have been coming to me trying to get me to think or have an idea or present a suggestion to me about this age against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Verse 13 echoes verse 11. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Amen. We have the instruction. How do we combat the thoughts that come against our mind from the evil one? Did you know that the devil, your adversary, is roaming around like a lion, as if he's a lion, which he's not, but he's roaming around like a lion, and he's looking. The Bible says he's seeking. Seeking whom he may devour. The spiritual being, this evil spiritual being, is roaming around just looking and looking and looking like a lion. You know what? Have you ever seen a lion get hungry in a cage? They go like this, back and forth. They go like this. They're just looking. They're just looking, looking. And that's what Satan's doing to you and me. He's looking. And the minute he sees that our VIT door is open, he goes, boom, there's an idea. There, here's a thought. Here's a suggestion. And he sends it right here to your mind, to my mind. But we have the whole armor of God. So how do we combat these thoughts? How do we do it? Well, we must have the whole armor of God. What does that mean? Well, we could break it apart as we've done before with Pastor, with all the different pieces of the armor of God, head to toe, front and back, right? We've done that. We've heard our pastor preach that. But the whole armor of God, if you look at this passage, I suggest you do this week, and you take out the actual pieces like helmet and sword and shield, and you just look at what they represent, you would have truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God.
Hallelujah.
The whole armor of God that I am to pick up and to put on me, the whole armor of God that you are to pick up and take and put upon you is truth, righteousness. You follow? The peace, faith, salvation, the word of God. That passage goes on to talk about prayer, the Holy Spirit, watchful, perseverance, utterance, boldness. You can jump over to Romans and see a description of some armor as well. The point, brothers and sisters, is when a thought comes your way, you must have knowledge. Your weapons, the weapon that combats the negative thought, the lie from the devil, is your knowledge of what God says about these issues.
Hallelujah.
So when the thought comes your way, you know, you may as well just give up. It's just not worth it. Hold on a second, VIT. Let me see if you have access. Hang on. And I have the armor of God. Is that truth? No. Is that peace? No. Right there. Access denied. Mm-hmm. Go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
What about, you're never going to see it change. It's always going to look like this. Stop. VIT moment. Very important thought moment. Do you have, am I going to give you access? Am I going to grant you access? Just a moment. It's never going to look anything different. Is that me being righteous in Christ that I'm never going to change? I'm always going to be this way? No. No. Because I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Access denied. Go in Jesus' name. What about, oh, that whole battle you've got in your mind, you're never going to be able to see it turn around. You're always going to be worried. You're always going to be stressed out about, stop. VIT moment, very important thought moment. Wait a second. Is that the gospel of peace that my pastor taught me last week? Putting on the shoes with the spikes to kick it if it's not the right one? Nope. Nope. Because the Bible says that his peace surpasses what I understand and actually guards my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Access denied. Go in Jesus' name. The more you know about specific pieces of armor, like truth and righteousness and your salvation and your peace and your righteousness, not mine, but yours. If you have knowledge about your righteousness and who you are in Christ, you have the armor of God and the weapons that will combat the enemy. You following this? So you cannot identify the thought coming your way without knowledge. The thought comes my way. Well, if I don't know what God's word says, how can I combat it? So how do we do this? How do we take every thought? How do we have, wait a second, VIT moment? The first thing you need to do is identify. You need to identify your thought with armor. You identify the thought. Why? Because I can't hear it in you. I'm not in your head and you're not in mine. So you know what? You don't know what thoughts have been attacking me. And I don't know what thoughts have been attacking you. But this position is you in Christ. So how do you combat this? Number one, identify the thought that comes to me with the armor of God. That's what we just showed you. Does that make sense? You following this? Is that clear? So if you are lacking in knowledge, you might not have all the skill set weapon-wise that you need to combat the thought, which is why we keep getting badgered and hit and hit and hit and hit again, because there's something in me that I don't have knowledge on that subject. There's still something. If that thought keeps coming at me and I haven't gotten to the other side of it, I need knowledge. Mm-hmm. I need knowledge from God's word. There's a God answer for everything.
Amen.
And I need to know what it is. Mm-hmm. I need to know what it is. The Bible says to take up the whole armor of God so that you would be able to withstand the wiles, the schemes, the tactics of the enemy. Well, if I don't know what's in the Bible, I cannot overcome the thought. That might sound depressing and that might sound dismal to you, but I'm here to encourage you to say that God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. Absolutely everything has been given to us. The battle in your mind and in my mind can be overcome when we identify what thought is coming our way through the armor of God. The devil is subtle. People think, Christians think, I'm going to wake you up right here. I'm going to wake you up right here. Christians think that the devil's going to walk in looking super, super scary, like the worst, stupidest Halloween costume you've ever seen in your life. And that he's going to walk in into your room in the middle of the night and go, boo! Or hide behind the door and go, rah! Mm-mm. The devil is subtle and crafty and roaming around, and he's looking. How did he tempt Eve? He didn't stand behind the tree and go, boo. He asked her a question, and he got an idea and a thought and a suggestion into her head. And she didn't feel scared, because if she did feel scared, he would have said, fear not. If she did feel threatened, she would have ran away and not talked to him. If she was really that scared. But the devil comes in subtly to you and to me and tries to put a thought in my head, a suggestion into your head, an idea into your head. And did you know that not one thing that the enemy says or does is true? Okay, like two people. Did you know that Satan cannot tell the truth ever? Ever. Settle it now and settle it today. If you don't get anything else out of this message, church family, and those watching online, settle it today. Every single thing that Satan says to you and puts in your head that is contrary to what God says, the armor of God about his truth and righteousness and peace, right, and salvation, everything that is contrary, opposite, opposed to that is a lie. Yeah, but it sounds a little truthful, but yeah, but it kind of matches how I'm feeling. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Let's look at John 8. This is going to make you maybe, I'm trusting that this is going to make you go, wow. There's something about John chapter 8, verse 44, that somehow we get a little tripped up on the beginning part of the verse, and then we kind of lose the impact of the last part of the verse. So verse 44, John chapter 8, verse 44. If you're there, say, I'm there.
There.
All right. It talks about, Jesus is talking about, you know, you're of the Father, the devil, and the desires of your heart, blah, blah, blah. And we kind of gloss over that because we're like, well, I'm a Jesus follower, so that doesn't apply to me. And we kind of skip on until we find the best parts of the passage, right? But I want you to look at, yeah, that does not apply to you. It does not apply to me. The devil's not my father. So that doesn't apply to me. But you know what does apply to me is to know who the devil is. Look at the last part of the verse. It talks that he's a murderer from the beginning, blah, 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 blah. But check this out. Guess where he does not stand? Look at it. After it says he was a murderer from the beginning, what does it say? And does not, meaning Satan does not stand where? He does not stand in truth. Satan does not stand in truth. He cannot stand and speak truth. This is Jesus speaking. You know how many times I gloss over the first part of that verse because I'm like, well, I'm a Christian. This doesn't apply to me. And God's like, yeah, but get aware of what he does, of what Satan does. He doesn't stand in the truth. Look what else it says. Because, and Jesus gives the reason why. Love him as my teacher. Because there is no truth in him.
That's right.
So he doesn't stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, ha, ha, ha. It doesn't say when he speaks a half truth. And it doesn't even say when he speaks a half lie. It says when he, Satan, speaks a lie, which apparently is all he can speak, right? He speaks from his own, what? Resources. He has a big giant pot of lies. That's his bank account. His bank account is his resources, his tools, his schemes, his tactics, his wiles, his words are all coming from his resources, and every single resource that the enemy has is a lie. He speaks from his resources. For he, as if we didn't get it, Jesus is like, he's a liar. Like, if you didn't catch it yet, and he's the father of it. Wow. So Satan comes and attacks us in our mind with thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that might sound a little bit true, a little bit comfortable, a little bit easy to identify with because it's kind of matching how I'm feeling and what's been going on. But if I don't stop it and say, hold on a second, VIT moment, I'm going to be the one that gets off. I'm going to get to a point where I'm not hearing clearly from the Lord because I'm listening to something that feels and seems kind of accurate. I saw a reel on social media. I follow an influencer on social media. It's all the rage. So it's gotta be true. But if I don't stop and even say, does that match up with what God says? I have to have knowledge to combat. So I identify the thought with the armor of God. Does this make sense?
Yes.
All right. You can jot this down for your notes that 2 Corinthians 2:11 says that we are not to be ignorant of the enemy's schemes, which means that we can know. Mm-hmm. We can know what they are. You already know. We just shared it. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So identify the thought with your armor. You stop and say, does this agree? So here I am. And let's say that this is my door. This is my door. Oh, squeaky door. Okay. And the thought is over here. Now, did you know that the enemy's weapon sometimes in the Bible is called a fiery
dart?
Fiery dart. Not just a dart. It's going to be on fire. It's designed to kill you and burn you up. I mean, we're certainly not playing around. This is not a toy, right? So the thought comes over here. Here's the enemy over here, and he takes his fiery dart and he goes, there's Christine. Ready? Aim. Fire. Now, I'm in Christ. I have a right to let that thought stop right here at my door. Stop. This is my VIT door right here. Hold on a second. Does what you're sending me match up? Oh, it doesn't? No, access denied. It can't penetrate. So what do you do when it does? What do you do when it does? What do you do when you're just kind of a little bit like sluggish, naturally, a little tired, your brain fog, right? Little, whatever the case might be. It happens to all of us. What do you do when it does? You have to quench it. You have to quench. The Bible says to quench the fiery dart. Quench it. Do you know what quench means? If you quench your thirst, what do? If you quench your thirst, it means I'm thirsty, I'm going to quench it. What does it mean? You satisfy your thirst. You stop the thirst by drinking water, correct? Mm-hmm. So when you are quenching the fiery dart of the enemy, you fight fire with fire.
Amen.
Fight fire with fire. Did you know that there are professional firefighters that actually fight fire with fire? They actually burn certain areas to minimize the intensity of like a big fire. They fight fire with fire, but they have to know what they're doing in order for it to be working well and successful, right? So that's where we can say the second thing that we do is we quench our thoughts. So the first thing is you identify your thought with armor. You quench the fight. Now you quench your thought with attention. With attention. What do you give your attention to? Okay. So number one, identify the thought as it's coming your way. You stop it with your VIT process. Identify the thought with the armor of God. Put it all on. Does it line up with what he says? The second thing is quench the thought with your attention. Thoughts love attention. Mm-hmm. Thoughts love attention. They absolutely you know that because you create a whole story from one thought.
Oh, sure.
You create a whole story. Some of you have planned your funeral. You've created when you're going to die, how you're going to die, if you're married, who your spouse is going to remarry. You've done it. All right. Maybe that's too dramatic. Maybe just my own head. Okay. You've moved. You've moved to an exotic island by yourself, right? You have taken a thought and you've created a whole, I mean, you've built a little bungalow in the middle of nowhere, oh, and you are by yourself, oh, and you are happy, oh, because you got one thought in your head and you've created a whole story.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's fun. We want you to dream and we want you to have God thoughts and we want you to have His plans and His visions for your life. And we could spend a whole week talking about all the good things that God has for you. And He gives you dreams and He gives you visions and He gives you the desires of your heart.
Yes.
But on a day-to-day basis, we're specifically today talking about fiery darts that come our way in our thoughts and suggestions and ideas. What do? We quench it. We extinguish them with attention. How? We put our attention on the thought? No, we put our attention on the Word of God. And we speak, we turn our attention away from that fiery dart and we quench it, we put it out, we extinguish it by actually putting our attention, which means literally, folks, literally take your focus and get it off of the thought and get it on. You know how hard that is? I think I might be the only person in here that has this issue from time to time. I mean, come on. Do you know how, when you start creating a whole big story in your head, especially when you're mad at someone? Have you ever had a whole conversation with someone and no one was even in the room? And he never said a word? And he never even said a word. It was all up here. Okay, got you now. I got you now. All right, I struck a nerve here. All right. Well, you take that and you go, wait, the minute you notice the thought has come, you go, wait a second. Number one, identify the thought. That's contrary to God's word. That does not line up with the truth. That's not who I am as a saved person. Mm-mm. Second thing, I'm going to quench that thought and I'm going to take my attention and put it on God's word.
Yes.
I'm the righteousness of
Amen.
God in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Greater is He on the inside of me than he that's in the world. See, I'm not creating the whole conversation anymore with that person that I'm upset
that's
with.
Good.
So I quench the thought with my attention. Number one, identify the thought with the armor. Number two, quench the thought with your attention. Number three, you're going to capture the thought with your announcement. You're going to capture the thought with your announcement. Do you remember we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 10? That was our key text, wasn't it? And verse 5 said, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the what? We have it. This is what we do. This is what we do. A thought comes our way. It's an argument.
Yes.
It's a high thing. Mm-hmm. What do we do with it? We're going to cast it down. It's an argument trying to argue in my head, trying to have battle in my mind. And it's to you, it's silent. But to me, it's noisy. So I'm going to take that thought and I'm going to take it and I'm going to cast it down. I'm going to cast every argument down.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about me having an argument with a person. I'm talking about the argument in your mind.
Yes.
Going back and forth and back, being afraid and worrying and alone and this. Well, it's just better if you're just by yourself. You don't need anybody anyway. Mm-mm. No, no, no. Cast that argument down.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the Word of God says, don't forsake the assembling of each other.
Amen.
Casting down arguments and every high thing. Are you telling me I gotta do this with everything?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Every single time there's a thought that comes, an idea, a suggestion that is not God's, then you have to cast it down. That exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Does it line up with God? And then you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So number one, identify the thought with the armor of God. That's with knowledge, right? The more we know about the Word of God, the easier it is to identify whether it's from God or whether it's from you or whether it's from the devil. And not every thought you have by yourself is evil and bad. Okay? Because you're the righteousness of God in Christ. So your thoughts should match God's. Isn't that sweet? So the two of you outnumber him anyway.
Oh,
how fun is that?
Hallelujah.
So it's 2-1 anyway. And actually, it's even more than that, because we have the Holy Spirit,
yes.
Jesus, God, I mean, come on, his angels and all of that. But we cast down every argument. So we identify the thought with the armor of God. We are quenching the thought that comes with attention, and we move our attention away. Say, stop. It's not a very important thought for me to have right now. And now the last thing I do, because you have to do all three. You can't just go, oh, bad thought. Oh, that's a bad thought. Go, shoot, shoot, shoot. Okay, that, hear me. I've gotta recognize it. And let me just pause for just 2 seconds and say, don't be down on yourself and don't beat yourself up internally if you thought about the thought for 10 minutes. Okay, just stop at whatever point. This was the most freeing thing for me as a spirit-filled, young married person, Christian, was when someone said, the minute you notice it, that's when you do something. So don't get all like badgered over yourself, like, because you ever get daydreaming, but it's not a good one, right?
Right.
So if you're having that argument with someone in your head, the second you realize, whoa, what's happening? No, stop. The moment you notice it, stop.
Yes.
VIT moment. And you'll find the more you do that, not easier, but faster you'll do it. That's sort of the point. Okay, so quench the fiery dart with your attention, get it off. And the last thing, capture the thought with your announcement. Jesus did this in Luke chapter 4. He, when tempted by the devil, when attacked by the devil, he said, it is written. And then he spoke what was written. Okay, so you can't just walk around and go, it is written, it is written, it is written, because you're not really saying what's written. The announcement has to be, and Christians do that. Oh, I got attacked by the devil. It is written, it is written, it is written. You haven't said anything. You might as well just, you know, start doing jumping jacks or something. You have to state with an announcement. In order to capture it, you have to go, gotcha. So I identify the thought with the armor of God. Wait a minute, stop. It's not a very important thought of VIT. I've gotta stop. That doesn't sound like I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Secondly, I'm gonna quench it. I'm gonna quench it with my attention. I'm not gonna focus on how terrible I am and how awful I am and how many mistakes I've made and how I'm not worthy. No, I move my attention. This is how I'm quenching the fiery dart. And I say, God, you've made me the righteousness of God in Christ. Lord, you care about me, and you told me to cast all my cares on you because you care about me. And then the third thing I do is I'm gonna go, ha, gotcha. Now I know what to do. I know what it is. I am not giving it attention anymore. And I'm like, I know where to put you. I know where to put you. Go back to 2 Corinthians 5 or 10 verse 5. I know what to do with you. I know what to do with you. I have to do the third part if I'm going to really obliterate this. I have to do the third part. And I will make you thought. I will make you obedient to Christ. That's how you win.
That's
how you win.
That's
how you win. That's how you win. That's how we combat the enemy. We stop and we say, you know what? So you're at work and the thought comes, you're never going to figure that out. That is way above your pay grade. That is way above your skill. Stop. VIT, very important thought. No. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That I identified the thought because it came against the knowledge of God. That was the knowledge of God. I used the knowledge of God to identify that it was not from God and it was from the enemy. Number two, I'm not going to think about it anymore. I'm not going to give it my attention. Quench the fiery dart. Extinguish it by putting your attention on, Lord, I thank you that you are going to help me figure this out. I thank you that because I'm in you, I can do all things, including this task that I've never done before in my life. Do you know that God did that for me with our church finances? He taught me programs. I used to say all the time, I'm not computer savvy. I'm not computer savvy. And the Lord got a hold of me and said, hello, it was a VIT moment. And I was like, wait a minute. Who says I'm not computer savvy?
Right.
And so I identified that was not from God. Do you know that that was from the enemy so that it would stop us having proper accounting and oversight to the church's finances? Do you know that this church's finances is balanced to the penny, and penny, 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 every single week? There's not one penny that comes through this door that we don't know where it is. We find it. If it's off just a little, we find it. We find, I'm looking, because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I quenched that fiery dart, number two, with my attention. And I started putting my attention on his word. I can do this because you're with me, Christ. I can do this because you're with me. And then I was like, wait a second. Because the thought would come back again. You don't know what you're doing. You have no idea what a debit and a credit is. Who are you? You're an accountant. You don't even know. Well, I'm good with numbers. That doesn't matter. Look at da da da. No, 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 no. No, I captured it. Come on, devil. We've already dealt with this. This thought is not from you. I'm not giving it any more attention. And as a matter of fact, number three, I'm going to capture it. And I'm going to announce out loud, out loud. I'm going to announce. You capture the thought with your announcement. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you must be obedient to that.
Yes.
That's what you're doing. When it says, chapter 10, verse 5, to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, you have to know what you're grabbing first. You have to know to stop what you're not going to give attention to anymore. Identify it first with the armor. Quench it secondly by don't give it any attention. And thirdly, capture it and make it the thing you have identified, the thing you're not giving attention to anymore. Make that obedient to Christ. That's what you're doing. You're not just walking around mindlessly going, well, my thoughts are going to be obedient. No, no, specifically church.
Yes,
specifically right. Church. Specifically, the devil says to you, you know what? You're nothing. You're nothing. You never were anything. You never are anything. Your low self-esteem is going to be like that all the time. Woo! And you start creating pictures of that. No, 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 no. VIT moment. Stop.
Right.
Are you from God or are you from the devil who only has lies as his resource? Well, when I have the armor of God on, that means I know and I have knowledge of his word. I can say that Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 says, I am complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. I am somebody. I am something. I can identify that thought. I can quench it by not giving attention to my story that's playing around in my head. And thirdly, I'm going to capture that and say, oh, no, devil, you don't get to tell me I'm not anything. You don't get to say that to me because I have the word of God. And so you know what? We're going to take you and all of your resources because we know they are lies, as John 8 said in verse 44, and we're going to make it obedient to Christ. So lie that says I'm nothing, Christine, I'm going to grab that. And Colossians says that I am complete in him. So lie, take that and be obedient to Christ, to Christ. So the lie has to be obedient to Christ when you make it obedient to Christ. You have every right to do that as a child of God. Every single right. All authority has been given to you. Do you realize that what we just walked you through is not something that occurs to you when we lay hands on you? Come on, I'm going to upside down your cart right now. And all your apples might fall out. Do you realize that what we just taught you is not something that I can lay my hands on you and have you get free? Do you realize that? We have instruction in the Word of God. Lay your hands on the sick. Lay your hands when you're sending out ministers. But where do you see lay your hands so that somebody has authority in their mind to get out? No, we have scripture after scripture after scripture about the weapons that have been made available to you and to me and what we're supposed to do about it with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So this week we want to give you these cards. Okay? Anybody want to, anybody help me, please? These are your pass. This is your pass. This is your VIT. All right? Take your card. This is your pass. A thought comes your way. If you're by yourself, get it out and wave it. Stop.
Yes.
This is my VIT, my very important thought moment. This is your access. You're going to allow it to have access. Now, we want you to equally have access of the good thoughts coming from God's word. The more you have the thoughts from God, the more you're going to be set free. Amen? So you've got this card. It says, very important thought, a VIT card. Just for you. Just for you, a VIT card, very important thought card. It has our key text on there, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If anybody took notes today from the sermon, on the back of the card, you could write down, identify your thought with armor. Number two, quench your thought with attention. Number three, capture your thought with announcement. I can give those to you again after service if you're interested. But what you're going to do is I'd like to ask you to concentrate this week. Now, Pastor asked you last week to make a declaration statement with a verse. I don't know if y'all did that. If you didn't, go back and listen to the end of his message. Got two homework assignments. If you didn't, we do free makeups here. All right? Praise the Lord. Somebody's car. Praise God. All right, so last week he asked you to make a declaration, and you can do that. Go back and listen. This week, we want you to concentrate. Let's take this simply. Let's be simple about this. Let's be successful. We don't want to frustrate our faith. We want to have success in the things of God. So what's the one thought that keeps badgering at you? You don't have to tell us. All right? Whatever that is. Maybe you want to use the back of it. And you want to write down what that thought is that the enemy keeps trying to tell you. Is it that no one cares about you? Or it's not going to work? Or just give up? Or you don't need to be with people anyway because you're better off by yourself? And you're just a loner and that's just the way you are? What about that one? Well, that's just the way I am. What about that one? Well, I've always been that way. What about that way? It's a generational thing. What about, like, well, times are changing. Well, that's for young people. That's for old people. That's for men. That's for women. That's for kids. That's for preachers. Whatever it is, you might want to identify that. And then you want to take your time and find a verse that combats that, the knowledge of God, and write your victory verse at the bottom. Now, I encourage you, if it's too long, then use the back of the card and write it out. Amen. Write it out. Not just the reference. Okay? For all of you that have an amazing memory, that's wonderful. But I take the time and I actually literally write verses out completely. Yes. Completely. Now, if you were in my house, it's a good thing Pastor's not home yet, because my bedroom has papers everywhere right now. Do you know how many times I wrote this verse out? I mean, I was all yesterday. I've got papers spread, the same verses. These right here. This is the sweet, pretty copy. Okay? But I have this. I have it everywhere. I wrote it over and over and over and over again. And before they come home tonight, I'm going to scoop it all up, make up the bed, and make it look all pretty. Because I have it. When I tell you, I have papers. I mean, I went to the computer and I just took out all this paper, marched down to my little cozy bedroom with my dog, and I just started writing and writing, and the Lord had me keep writing these verses over and over and over and over and over again. Obviously, I needed them just like you did, amen? So you take it out, you can write it out, so praise God. So hopefully that will help you at this time. Well, let's go ahead and just close. If you don't know the Lord and you would like to know Jesus, and you're like, I couldn't even do all this, but I do know that I've been getting these thoughts, but I need to come to know Jesus so that I can have the power. Let's go ahead and just bow our heads, close our eyes, just to give privacy for those who are here. And if you would like to have Jesus be the Lord and Savior of your life and have him make an absolute change in your everyday life and your everyday walk and help you with these truths, then I just ask that you would just raise your hand or lift your head and let me know that that's you. Or if you want to come back to Christ, praise the Lord. Amen. If you're watching us online, you can send us a private message. But we have a verse up here on the screen. Praise the Lord. Just want you to know that if you hear you guys can all look up here at this Romans passage up here so you can open your eyes, lift your head, folks. But I just want you to know that it's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late. Never too late. So if you've got somebody that you've been inviting and you're filling the house with their name on the card, it's never too late for them to receive Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you might think, well, it doesn't look like it. You never know. And what we do know is that God wants everyone to come into a knowledge of him. So the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That right there, folks, is amazing knowledge about your salvation and your righteousness. So if you have anything that combats that, every one of us who have been walking with the Lord could use that as truth as well, yes, and knowledge. Amen. Let's pray. So repeat after me in case there's somebody that wants to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Father God,
I believe
that Jesus is your Son, and that he died, was buried, and rose on the third day. I believe my sin is forgiven because of the blood of Jesus that was shed for me. I receive Jesus as my Savior, and I am your child in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so there's that, and let's go ahead and just stand. We're going to say our closing verse now. Thank you for the opportunity to minister the word. It's always an honor and a pleasure. It's very humbling because I just love listening to my husband, and I do appreciate you always having such patience and grace as I try to get the word out to you. So thank you so much for that. You are amazing people, and I trust that there's something in the word this week that will really help set you free in the area that when a thought comes your way, you know what to do. We, Pastor and I, really do endeavor to preach to you for what's real and what is happening, because we have to get through today. Amen. Yes. We've got to get through this life. Amen. And we do have ways to do that. And so coming together gives us this opportunity to hear his word so that we know what to do the minute you get in the car and go home.
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's go ahead and declare this. Aren't you glad when we had the earthquake? I put this on Facebook. I don't know if anybody got my drift.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody. On Facebook, it was like right after the earthquake. Wow. I put this on, I'm like, we declare Psalm 121, 7 a.m. over church every week. Yes. That's why I said it, because I was like in Connecticut and the whole building was shaking, okay? So praise God. We mean it when we say this.
Yes, we do.
This is what we say. This is what we do. So when the thought comes your way this week, you're gonna die. You're not gonna make it. You're not gonna have the money. You're not gonna be able to see the other side of this. You say, stop. Very important thought check up here. Wait a second. At church on Sunday, we declared Psalm 121, 7 and 8. So when the thought comes my way, real moment. Oh, your husband's not going to make it home because he's in Florida traveling. What? Stop in Jesus' name. Very important thought check up here. Wait a second. No, devil. This happens all the time, and you got to catch it quick. I don't dream about how that. No, that is from the father of lies. The only resource he has is lies. And I say no in the name of Jesus. We declare Psalm 121, 7 and 8 over my husband and my daughter, and they have a long and satisfied life and will fulfill every single plan that God has for them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's how we do it, because it happens. I'm telling you, it's going to happen in the cars. The second you start driving home, it's going to happen. Catch it. Catch it. Catch it. Catch it. Catch it. Don't have a lazy brain. No lazy brain. No brain fog. You can't afford to have brain fog. Mm-mm, not spiritually. No lazy brain. Let's declare it. Hallelujah. Here we go. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil.
Hallelujah. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in.
From this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. Well, God bless you. Have an amazing week. You're going to have a victorious week. We want to hear the testimonies from you. So please share. In Jesus' name, be blessed. And visit that table where our youth are for the fundraiser. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.